How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is Monday night, February 8th, 2010, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Just got done watching Raw. We're going to talk about that, talk about some news. We've got a number of email questions as well. And Dave, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. The Raw show tonight was a... I know they're still doing a very good job with the main storylines heading into WrestleMania. It is kind of interesting in the sense that they're doing such a good job building to WrestleMania that I actually wonder if it's going to hurt the buy rate for the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view.
I don't think that's really a big concern, because WrestleMania is the big money show, but I think the Elimination Chamber is going to do just fine. I just think there's enough momentum overall with everything going on. But, I thought that it was pretty cool the way they did the thing where they basically told you that Bret Hart and Vince McMahon were doing a singles match, and then at the end they pulled it back. It's kind of like they're doing that with both. I almost think that, that maybe one of them, they shouldn't be like telling. I don't know. It's similar, but I did like it. I really liked Vince. I thought it was great when Bret came out at the end of the show, and he said that
you deserve to be screwed.
Yeah.
Vince was awesome yet again. He's in his element here with this feud, just like the greatest heel. And
yeah, I think he really loves doing this angle.
Yeah, it's quite clear. And I think that, the angle itself tonight, it was hurt in the sense that, Bret's strength at this point is obviously his promos. It's not the physical stuff. And it's not like the physical stuff was really bad or anything tonight, but it was not great. And he tried to destroy some equipment and a piece fell on him and knocked him down, which scared the hell out of me. I thought, my God, don't hurt this man before WrestleMania. And, it's much better when him and Vince are doing verbal jousting, which hopefully there's more of that coming up in the next several weeks leading to WrestleMania. But still, it was, the ending of the show, he came out and he attacked Vince and security saved Vince and Bret beat up some security guards. And then they recreated the fit that he threw after he got screwed at Survivor Series. He destroyed a bunch of equipment, threw down monitors, that sort of thing. And I don't think a lot of the fans really... I presume that they knew what was going on, but they didn't. It was a good reaction. It was not like a Steve Austin reaction or anything like that for the man destroying things. But I don't think it hurt momentum any, and they're still very much on the right track.
Yeah, it. I don't know. It was interesting because it's like the third meeting now. It's his third appearance. It's kind of. The specialness was gone of him being there. I will say that. The people were, they were kind of into the fact when he did the run-in, but he didn't seem like this extra special character. But yet, when they announced the match, people were kind of into it. Not like legendary into it, but enough to where it came across pretty good.
Yeah. And it is early. They did pull the carpet out from under us by announcing the match was not going to take place after all, and so... There's still many, many more weeks and many twists, I'm sure, in the story and that sort of thing. And I don't think they've peaked too soon or anything like that. And maybe in a sense, it's good that it wasn't an enormous reaction because you don't want to peak here seven weeks out or 8 weeks out or where they are from WrestleMania. There's still plenty of time to build. So I guess we'll see how it goes. But that was one of the two main angles on the show, the other involving Shawn Michaels. And we'll talk about all of that as we get into the program here. I will say this. Carl Edwards was the guest host here tonight, and I'm not a huge fan of many of the guest hosts, and in fact, the last set of NASCAR drivers were horrendous, but I think Carl Edwards may have been underutilized on this show.
Well, he was having a lot of fun, and he's got and he showed a lot of personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they could have probably done a little more with him. But you know what? They had a lot to get to. They had a lot that they had to get through. When you watch the show, there wasn't any filler stuff on the show.
Yeah.
And so they probably just didn't have the segments for him.
He was a guy that maybe they should have saved for a different day. When you do have nothing going on and you want a guest host to do an athletic main event, he did a backflip off the middle ropes, for God's sake. They actually had a guest host.
Well, that's his gimmick in NASCAR. When he wins races, he jumps off the car or something.
Yeah, but the point was, he was an athlete. They probably could have done something in the ring with him. Not that, you're correct in the sense that...
But this wasn't the week for it. The
other thing it's too, a bad night for it.
The reason he did it was because the Daytona 500 is coming up. And so, that's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But more, the date worked with his schedule. So it was just one of those things where they didn't have the time, the TV show, with a lot of spare time, but that was the date he was going to do. So it worked out. It was a good show overall.
Yeah, he came out and he plugged the deal this coming weekend. I guess it's this coming weekend. And
Daytona 500.
Yeah. He said as the guest host, he had a lot to live up to. And I laughed out loud at that line of all the great lines to say. It was actually only the second greatest line on the show. We'll get to that after a while. But talked about Cena. Sheamus came out and talked about how he was the champion. He planned on walking into Mania as the champion. He had to win the chamber. He demanded Carl make him the last participant in the match. Carl said no. Christian, of all people, came out. And not only did Christian note that NXT is taking over for ECW in about 2 weeks, but on the 23rd or whatever day it is, all of the ECW competitors are going to be free agents, and they can go to whatever show they want, which I guess that explains how Christian and some of these guys are going to end up on Raw and SmackDown, but everybody on ECW is a free agent. Are they going with a completely green, brand new crew on that show?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. That's kind of bad because one of the things, we have to wait and see how the show goes, but one of the good things about that show is the guys like Zack Ryder were working with Christian. You know what I mean? And it was up in their game, and they got to work with, Goldust, and it was helping some of these guys get better. And you take that away if it's all FCW guys, and Goldust. I wonder what happens with Goldust.
Yeah.
He's just going to become a job guy, I guess. If he's even around. Christian will do well. You could see even tonight just by the fact that Sheamus beat Christian clean with a bicycle kick that. Christian's going to be a mid-card guy, which is too bad because I was enjoying those Christian 15-minute matches, that would happen every so often on ECW TV. They were actually some of the best matches in WWE, and he's not going to get that kind of time. Certainly if he ends up on Raw, he's not going to get that kind of time. He'll get some time on SmackDown and have some good matches on SmackDown, but I don't think that he'll get the kind of time that he used to get either.
They also mentioned it would be the season premiere of NXT.
Yeah, and then, what happens to, there's a lot of guys. Yoshitatsu obviously will fare just fine. But like Kozlov, goddamn,
Yeah, some guys are going to be in trouble.
Ezekiel Jackson obviously will, because of his size, will get something, and he'll, but again, it's going to be tough with Ezekiel Jackson on Raw or SmackDown. You can only go so far with him. So, but anyway, we'll all see in the next, 4 weeks, I guess, on how everything assimilates. It's another round of changes.
So they did do the champion versus champion match. It was Christian and Sheamus, and they had a pretty good match. Sheamus actually showed a lot more personality on this show than in many of the recent shows. His interviews are getting even better. And he ended up beating Christian, Razor's Edge for the pin, clean finish. Sucks to be ECW. It was a competitive match, and it was fun, so I can't complain too much. But
well, they had to do that if you think about it, because I'm presuming that they're going to get rid of the ECW title, and this way you've kind of got your storyline thing. Well, you had your champion versus champion. He lost. There you go.
We had Sean meeting with Hunter, and he said he knew he'd been a little distracted with the Undertaker thing. Said in 24 hours, he not only lost the Rumble, but he lost his shot to get into the Elimination Chamber. And he said, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. He said, you and me, we've never gone to WrestleMania as DX. That could be really cool. And Hunter basically told him, listen, I did qualify for the Chamber. I plan on going in. I'm planning on winning. And that's just the way it's going to be. And Sean said, so it's all about you now. And stormed off. So this was the beginning of Sean's, I guess, final breakdown for at least the next couple of weeks. And good stuff, as always, with Sean here. Cody and Ted had a meeting and started to argue about who was better. And Orton walked up, and apparently he'd been talking to Carl. And he announced that tonight it was going to be... They were talking, I guess, Cody and Orton were talking about how they each got into the chamber or how Ted got in the chamber. And Ted was like, Cody basically said, what was it? Cody had to face Cena.
I had to wrestle Cena while you got to wrestle Mark Henry.
Sure. And so Ted was like, so you're saying that if I would have wrestled Cena, I wouldn't have gotten the chamber. Anyway, Orton came up and he signed Cena and Ted, and he also announced that he was going to be facing Cody later on. And no heat for either of those, by the way, I should note, really. We had DX against Miz and Show against Punk and Gallows, elimination match for the titles. Punk and Gallows were eliminated initially when Sean pinned Punk with the super kick. They did a segment before the match where Punk was going to get Jared from Subway, who was in the
front. That was funny stuff.
Yeah, when he said, "Go get me Jared from Subway," that was the funniest line I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
But sadly, they didn't get him, and they were eliminated, and it came down to DX against Big Show and Miz. And the finish was actually great. Sean made a comeback, and he was going to do the kip-up, but changed his mind since he did that last week and was pinned. And Hunter got a hot tag, and he was running wild, and Sean did a blind tag in, and Hunter's asking him, "Why'd you do that?" And as they were arguing, Miz ran them together, rolled up Sean, pinned him. So Miz and Big Show were the champions, and Sean did another freak out, tossed off all of his DX gear, and stormed backstage, and it was a pretty good match.
The match was all right, but I mean, it served its purpose. You know, they got the tag. I'm kind of surprised that, you know, because they've got Miz now with the U.S. belt and the tag team titles at the same time. And I guess that means that we'll be seeing more of Miz and Show on SmackDown as well.
That's fine.
Yeah. Oh yeah, nothing wrong with that. I think they would probably have Miz drop the U.S. God, I hate for it to be the MVP.
But, yeah, well.
You know, the other person, I guess, is Kingston, but... You know, I don't know that they'll do that.
And just keep it on him for a while. Just ice the title for a bit. It doesn't matter. They did a promo backstage, actually, where Show was very happy because they had done something that him and Jericho had never done. That was beat DX. Buried Jericho. Said Miz was a much better partner and a friend. He said, "He treats me like an equal. He treats me like a friend. There's nothing we can't do." It was like almost a goofy babyface promo by these two heels. And Miz announced that they were going to rule Raw as the Miz Show. And then Big Show said, "You know, I like Show Miz better, like Showbiz." And so Miz was fine with that. And that appears to be their new name, Show Miz, as the tag team champions here. We had Sean freaking out, and he ran into Teddy Long and begged him to trade him to SmackDown, take one of the guys out of the chamber and put him in. He said he'd win the chamber, he'd take the title, he'd give Undertaker a match for the belt at WrestleMania, and he would not only retain the belt, but he'd end Undertaker's streak. Sean was actually booking his own program here, and Teddy basically said, I can't do that. And so Sean grabbed him by the collar and was threatening him, and Hunter came up and wanted to know if this obsession was going to cause Sean to throw away DX and throw away his career, and Sean just said, "My career is over." And he superkicked Teddy. He stormed off, and I suppose we won't see him again until Elimination Chamber, when I expect him to probably cost Undertaker the match.
Yeah, I think that they may do something like a suspension or something like that. It's interesting where this thing's going, you know, and how they get there. I mean, it's good. It's been good to me.
Yeah, they're doing a great job with it, I thought.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they're TV. I haven't seen all of SmackDown. I saw, you know, I'm about halfway through it right now, but that was a good show too.
I'm just wondering why Sean doesn't just run down during the chamber and beat up Kofi and take a spot. Didn't Edge do that like last year?
Yes.
So they've set the precedent.
They probably will do something like that somewhere. But I mean, maybe more likely that he goes into the beats up somebody in the SmackDown side, like Morrison or somebody.
Yeah. Somebody had the idea that near the end of the match he would come up through the canvas, like Undertaker always did, and somehow cost Undertaker the match that way.
Could do that, too.
There's some way he's going to get in there, everybody, I would guess.
There's a lot of ways. I mean, you know, everyone knows the end result. You just how you get to the end result.
Yeah. We had Gail Kim and Jillian with Maryse on commentary. Nobody cared at all about this match. Thankfully, it only went a minute, and then Maryse got in the ring and did a babyface promo about how she couldn't wait to have this match with Gail, wanted to have the best match of her life. And then in French, she buried her and said she smelled like garbage. And of course, you know, Gail had no idea what she was talking about. And
nor did anyone else.
It's a fun little gimmick, I guess. Causes everybody to...
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, they rushed through that. I mean, they didn't even give them ring entrance or anything. You could tell they were running late again because Cody also...
He was in the ring, yeah.
Yeah.
Announced Ted DiBiase.
And there was somebody else, DiBiase, who they, like, got it, but it was like so brief.
We'll talk about him in a second. They announced Ted DiBiase going to the Hall of Fame and
Ted Senior.
They had a video package. It was great when they showed the little boy that had to dribble the basketball 15 times and Ted kicked it away at 13. It was like skits were so great back then and they're so horrible today. It was just, that's what I thought when I watched this video package here. Which brought us, by the way, to a skit with Santino, the NASCAR guy, and the Subway guy, all in the same place at the same time. And Jared was plugging subs. Carl.
Yeah, there's some special. But isn't a special like a $5 foot long? And hasn't that been like a special like forever?
I seem to recall it being a special for decades now, but
not a decade, but but
it's still,
you know,
a,
I mean,
special,
that
was
the theme and everything, and
yeah.
I mean, it was nice product placement. I mean, it's so corny, but I mean, you know, it's so corny that you have to almost like it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not, whatever. It was like the record for. I think, wouldn't they say like Raw and Jay Leno were the two shows with the most product placements of all the shows on television?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they have to do something because they're not making any money on the advertising, so they got to get money some way.
We had Santino coming in and saying he wanted Jack Swagger, so Carl doomed him to Superstars on Thursday. And Kofi was in next. And Kofi said, Carl said, I'm sorry I didn't book you on the show. And Kofi was like, well, it's okay. I'm in the Elimination Chamber in 2 weeks, and I could use the week off. And it was very subtle, but I thought, the guy's got to be turning heel here at some point, because
you think?
It's kind of an odd line for a babyface to throw out there. I could use the week off.
I don't know, because maybe it was just a way to put over the guest host as you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But they ended up announcing that next week all the Elimination Chamber guys would do singles matches. And Carl said it was a good idea, and he said, should I book it now, or should I let next week's guest host do it? And this, of course, was all a setup for announcing that next week it was going to be Jerry Springer. And they did announce the matches later on in the show, which was a good idea, because had they not, they'd have forgotten by tomorrow. So it's always good to get this stuff out of the way. We had Orton and Cody, which is fine. I thought they worked it well. Nobody really cared all that much. And ended up with Randy setting up for the RKO. They didn't get much time at all either, which kind of made the whole thing sort of a little bit pointless, but he set up for the RKO, and Sheamus ran out for the distraction. Cody hit Randy with the crossroads, 1-2-3. Sheamus laid out Orton with the big boot. Cody hit the ring with a chair, and Sheamus backed off, and I thought for sure Cody was going to destroy Orton, but he didn't. So there.
That's what I was thinking.
I guess, I don't know. I kind of saw it as, they've done this a couple times with Sheamus, and I don't know if they're going to do Sheamus, Cody, and Ted as a new threesome after they boot out Orton, or what the deal will be. But, yeah, I thought he'd jump him, but I guess they're holding that off even more. We had the announcement of next week. It's going to be Randy versus Sheamus, Kofi versus DiBiase, and Triple H versus Cena. Didn't we just, like, December have a Triple H Cena match? It was like the last one forever or something, or is that another match I've seen a million times?
No, Cena and Orton was the last one forever. They never said that about Cena and Triple H. We just, you know, we get them every couple months on Raw as something, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the WrestleMania come early, although they can't say that this time.
We had Marine 1 versus Marine 2, Cena versus DiBiase. And Cena just beat him up outside, put him in the STF, DiBiase tapped, and what a complete burial of the poor guy. And at that point, they did the main event deal, which was Cena getting in the ring and calling out Batista, who didn't show up, and then he called out Vince, who did show up, and Vince admitted that, yes, I hired Batista to come out and embarrass Bret Hart last week and screw him again, but he said, I did not hire him to beat up you, John Cena. He said, maybe he beat you up because you eliminated him from the Rumble, or maybe he just doesn't like you. He said, I don't like you, and he buried Cena and ended up with Cena cutting another fabulous promo about how Vince was all about the money and how Bret Hart had called him last week and said that he wanted one more match against Vince McMahon at WrestleMania, and Vince needed to answer yes or no, and he kept, you know, pushing forward, and finally Vince said yes, and Cena said, well, you've said it to me, you've said it to the fans, you've said it to the whole world, but you got one more guy to say it to. And so Vince did a promo on Bret, and he showed the footage again of them humiliating him last week, and as soon as the footage ended, Bret hit the ring, attacked Vince, security guards ran in, They hauled Vince to safety. Britt beat up a couple of them. Vince got on the ramp and went crazy about how Britt deserved to be screwed, just screaming and frothing. And after he was backstage, after he'd announced the match was not going to be taking place at WrestleMania, Britt went and destroyed everything. And overall, it was a great segment by everybody involved, verbally especially. And good stuff. Very good stuff.
Yeah, I thought a pretty enjoyable show. And maybe I think that the feeling is that it wasn't the week for Britt to do a promo. They had seen to do the promo for him.
Yeah. I don't know why.
He did a good job, but I think that maybe because they pulled the match away, it actually made sense when it was over. When it was going on, and Cena challenged Vince to do the match, and Vince accepted. I was thinking like, that's weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't happen like that. But then when Vince pulled out, then it made sense because, it was the only way. It was really the only way to do it.
Vince was, in fact, a liar.
Yeah.
I love how this feud is going. It's like, everything, especially if you were actually around in, I think it's good enough that if you weren't around in 97, it's still compelling enough that it makes you really want to see the match. And if you were around, all the little things like, Brett's going for the sharpshooter, Vince spits in his face for revenge, Brett destroys all the stuff like he did after the first screw job, and it's everything's very poetic. And I think obviously I would be stunned if the WrestleMania finish were not Brett finally getting Vince in the sharpshooter and Vince tapping out. And
well, it has to be.
Yeah. So I mean, it's all gonna turn out great, and unless something goes wrong. But so far, so good. That's what
They did make it pretty clear that we're going to end up with Cena and Batista, or at least it looks like it's going to be Cena and Batista in a single, and Brett and Vince.
But that could change.
It could change because for the obvious factor that Brett and Vince in a single, they could it may not be up to standards.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that one really.
Yeah, I don't either actually, but. I mean, that's been the idea from the start, was for them to do the street, a street fight.
Yeah, I guess it could be done. I'm just trying to think about how to do it with, you obviously can't touch Brett's head.
Yeah.
I don't think he can take any bumps.
Vince is pretty limited in what he can do.
Vince
very
is
limited.
Very limited.
And the other thing is that, there's no blood.
Well.
I really think there's going to be, it'd make Vince look like too much of a hypocrite to have blood.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, that's never happened.
Yeah, but I just think that it would be... Well, maybe they will.
If ever there was accidental blood, this would be the match.
Yeah, but it's hard to... You know what I mean?
I do hope that Brett is aware that...
It's one thing for Brett to fool everyone when he's wrestling Davey Boy Smith. It's quite another to fool everyone when he's wrestling Vince McMahon.
Especially when he can't even be hit in the head. It would have to be a spontaneous juice job.
Well, I was thinking Vince would juice. I don't think Brett would juice.
I see, yeah. Brett just sawing at him with a blade or something like that. You never know. So, yeah, that's Raw, everybody. And that leads us to ECW tomorrow, where nothing is announced except the show's almost going to be dead. So that'll be
lame duck show.
It is a lame duck show. It's fascinating that, I don't know. Do they really need 2 weeks when they've just announced that next week's show's dead? We're coming back with a new one. I mean, what do we need the 2 weeks for? So everyone can, have their say their goodbyes to ECW?
Maybe, and also maybe they need 2 weeks to come up with what they're doing.
Hmm. Well, they can need a hell of a lot more in 2 weeks, I would guess, based on...
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where they go. I mean, it looks like the reality show is, there's been more and more work done, on the reality show segment part of it, as far as, Hollywood and asking people, for ideas and things like that. So I think that I think it's going to be something along those lines.
I've heard so many different ideas in the last 3 or 4 months about this program. It's amazing.
Yeah. So. Well, that's because everyone's throwing out ideas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not like they sat there one day and go, okay, this is what we're doing. It's like, everyone's throwing out ideas and they're going to go back and forth.
I do
and,
love
you know,
that.
I mean, obviously, whatever it is, the week before the first show, that's what it's going to end up being,
I do love that when ECW first debuted with Stars, did some pretty good ratings, and then they slowly started getting rid of Stars one by one and making it even, every week there was less and less of a reason to really watch that show, and the rating reflected that, and now they've got to figure out how to bring the rating back up, and so everyone's trying to think of ideas that do not involve, how about putting some Stars back on the show?
Well, if it's all developmental, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, I watched that. You know, those people aren't, you know, they're not really ready.
That's for sure.
Then again, I mean, I think that they're, you know, there's been that mentality of, if you remember when they did Tough Enough, they made, you know, some people stars on that show, you know, but using the reality format. You know, I mean, you know, Maven, you know, walked in and he was a big time. He could have been a big time deal, except that, you know, they, you know, he was over like he was a superstar immediately, but he just couldn't maintain that level because he wasn't, you know, he was so not ready. So, you know, there's that, and you know, guys have come off Ultimate Fighter and been pretty hot too. So, there's, you know, it has worked. You know, it works on, you know, American Idol and things like that. So, but then the deal is though the problem is that, to me, to be a star now, because of the eyeballs and, you know, people, you know, you almost have to be on Raw or SmackDown and mainly Raw, because, you know, a lot of people now are just, you know, a lot of the fans are just watching Raw.
Hall of Fame, besides Ted DiBiase, I guess Antonio Inoki's going in. It was announced on the WWE.
They're in a big deal, actually later today. Oh, it's for just... Antonio Inoki at a big hotel in Tokyo. They have a big party and everything. So, celebrating his induction.
I anything Inoki says, it's like in,
well,
until.
It's got nothing to do with Inoki. It was announced by WWE.
Well, it was at WWE, the Japanese, you know, the Japanese WWE website.
Yeah.
See, nothing in this country yet. No mention of it yesterday.
Well,
I presume he's going in.
They do it.
Huh?
They'll do it the week they do it.
Yeah.
They're not going to have it announced in Japan and not go through with it.
Yeah. Now, is this WWE announcing? Well, I guess it is the website, you know.
Well, I mean, WWE's holding the party tomorrow, or today.
Oh, okay. I thought this was a party that Antonio Inoki was...
It's a party for Antonio Inoki at one of the hotels in Tokyo.
I see. I thought this was Inoki arranging one of these deals.
No.
All right. So, yeah, Inoki's going in, DiBiase, and I guess we shall...
Probably Stu Hart.
But I was thinking about this. How do you put Stu Hart in?
It's going to be really hard, except I know that the whole family's already made their arrangements to go, so evidently, you know, that's... You know what I mean?
That's going to make absolutely no sense in the storyline.
I know, storyline-wise, I'm trying to figure out how they do that, too. I mean, maybe... But you couldn't go in there and, you know, say Stu and then not deliver Stu because, you know what I mean, pull it back, because it's almost like they're doing that pulling it back, you know, three ways, because they're doing it with the match, they did it with
you know, they
Shawn
do.
Undertaker. It's kind of like that's their thing for this year, is like, we're going to announce it, pull it back, and then deliver it at the end.
You know what they can do? There's actually an easy solution I just thought of. Steve Austin, he's guest host. He just says it's happening.
Yeah, I guess they could do that.
Yeah, anybody can do it, really.
Yeah.
With the guest host...
Does the guest host have Hall of Fame power?
Well, Steve Austin will.
Someone should, you know, have a... I don't know. You know, it's kind of interesting, because, you know, DiBiase, you know... Everyone's known for a long, long time that he was going in. I'm wondering who else goes in this year. You know, it's not a lot of obvious picks like in the other years where you're kind of like new.
Well, we'll see about
Warrior.
I mean,
there'll be guys. I mean, you know, once Coco wears in, it's like, you know, it can be anyone. But
that's true.
But, like, DiBiase is one of the last, you know, until you get to, like, The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels and Triple H and Jericho and all of these guys that are, you know, current guys. You know, of the guys that were from the old school that were the, you know, the real big stars that you knew were going in. I mean, there aren't a lot left out there. You know, I mean, I guess they could ask. I'm sure they're going to try to do Ultimate Warrior because they're in Phoenix and just because they need a big name and they're not out. You know, there's not a lot of them. I don't know if Warrior will do it, but at one point he gave the impression he would do it if asked. Obviously, you know, Honky Tonk Man turned him down. I don't know Arn Anderson's name. You know, I'm obviously, you know, he's an agent. I guess they could always do, you know, Barry Windham, has been an agent in the past. Rotundo is an agent still. But those aren't going to be, you know, big names, though.
Let's jump into the mailbag here. Of course, if you have questions, you can always send those to mailbag@wrestlingobserver.com. This person here says, Saw the infamous knockout of Mark Coleman in a match with Pete Williams. Williams was wearing shoes when he kicked Coleman in the head and knocked him out. I remembered earlier at UFC match with Ken Shamrock where he was wearing shoes. He threw one kick and the referee, who was John McCarthy, told him he couldn't kick because he was wearing shoes. What was the rule regarding wearing shoes in MMA during that period of time, and what are the rules regarding it now?
Now you're not allowed to wear shoes at all. In those days, there were certain shoes that were legal for kicking and other shoes that were not legal for kicking. And Williams was wearing shoes that were legal for kicking. So that's what the difference was. Shamrock would not wear shoes because he wanted the traction. I guess he was wearing wrestling shoes, which you weren't allowed to kick with. So that was the difference.
This person says, not to sound too internet fan cliche, but why did CM Punk take the fall on the tag match on tonight's Raw? Wouldn't it make more sense if you're trying to build up a character like Punk as the leader of a stable to not have him drop the fall and instead have his followers instead get pinned? Am I just stating the obvious?
Yeah, it's obvious. My feeling is that it's one of those deals where since Sean was losing the fall, they wanted Sean to beat a big star. You know, as soon as it became real obvious to me when Sean won the fall that over Punk, that Sean was losing the fall to lose the championship. So I think that was the mentality that, well, if he beat Luke Gallows, it's not as a big enough deal when he's going to lose a fall because they want to, you know, I mean, Hunter and Sean, like, not that they're, you know, against doing jobs, but they do jobs in that in a certain way, and you do something big and then you lose it. So I think that's where, you know, but in reality, yeah, it should have been Gallows, especially because I think Punk's got some upward momentum. But it's not a big deal. But yeah, it probably should have been Gallows. But I'm sure that's the reason why. This is that since Sean was losing the fall later, they wanted him to beat the bigger star.
I don't think it's going to hurt Punk to lose to Shawn Michaels in a three-way.
It's not going to hurt, but it probably is better to keep Punk not losing right now.
This person here says, will Jim Ross be back for Mania? I don't think I could handle Michael Cole calling the Brett-Vince McMahon match.
Yeah, real interesting. Nothing's for sure. Jim Ross has a meeting in a couple of weeks. And I think that by the end of this month, we're going to have a pretty good idea what's going to happen with Jim Ross. But there's a lot of different things. I think he's kind of alluded to this on the website. But I've heard his name in many different circles, and not just in professional wrestling. You know, and I think he's trying to book, you know, maybe doing a book. I don't know. You know, I expect he's going to wind up with someone. You know, obviously TNA wants him real bad. WWE obviously can... you know, offer a lot more money.
Would they have a three-man crew in TNA?
I think that it would probably mean Mike Tenay be out. That's what I would think would happen if he comes in. So, you know, ultimately, you know, I don't think WWE would want to lose him right now to TNA. So I think that my gut is they'll make him a good offer. Honestly, you know, if it was me, you know, I mean, I never would have made the change before, but pretty strongly now, if it was me, I would bring him back on Raw. Because, you know, really, it's kind of time for a shakeup anyway, and he's far more popular as an announcer than Michael Cole. And, you know, again, we're, you know, heading into WrestleMania, he can get these angles over more, he can get the matches over more. Yeah, you know, at WrestleMania, you know, yeah, it would be the best thing for all concerned if that were to happen. And but yeah, I think by the end of this month, we'll know what's up with JR.
You know, Mike Tenay used to win Announcer of the Year. He did very well, or he won for quite a period of time. And then
he won like five times.
Then he jumped to TNA.
Four or five times. He's won many times.
Then he jumped to TNA
Well, he did real well in TNA until TNA, you know, when TNA had good wrestling.
Yeah. Now,
but when TNA had the real bad convoluted storylines, yeah, he went by the way of Tony Schiavone.
Well, they gave him a role also of this crazy wild. I don't know. It just was not the best of Mike Tenay, and I don't think it was his fault. It was the way I'm sure he was directed. But
yeah,
you really gonna do that with Jim Ross?
What in TNA? Jim Ross won't take it. Jim Ross is gonna be. You know, I would say if Jim Ross goes there, Jim Ross is gonna be Jim Ross. You know, I don't see them, you know, I don't see him doing the yelling and screaming for an hour straight or 2 hours straight.
Yeah.
If he goes there. You know, I don't want to make odds. I mean, Dixie Carter wants him bad. They're not going to be able to outbid WWE for him. you know, for his outside business, you know, stuff like his restaurant, obviously the WWE exposure is far superior, especially if they offer him Raw. I think if they offer him, I would think if they offer him Raw, he would go. I would think that if they offered him a lot of money to do a very reduced schedule, he would stay with WWE. You know, if they don't want him anymore and they've decided that, you know, the time has come, you know, he's old, he's probably, you know, I mean, we don't want to pay. I'm sure he's making a, you know, great amount of money, and let's go. We have announcers in place that are not going to cost us nearly that much amount of money. Then he'll wind up with TNA.
I do think that Michael Cole, I actually thought did a really good job on Raw this past evening. And I don't know if it was because maybe Sean went up to him before the match and was explaining stuff. But, you know, when Sean went for the kip up and didn't make it up and then just stood up, you know, my first thought was, huh. And then Cole explained, you know, that last week he did a super kick and he got, or a kip up and he got pinned. And so this week he didn't want to take that risk again. And there are actually several points during the show where Michael Cole actually did a phenomenal job explaining why things were happening. And
well, he had pressure on him because last week in the Bret Hart angle, especially when they showed the clips of back, it was like, wow, did he not get excited over something that he really should have, you know, driven home?
Yeah. Ed in San Antonio here says, ask Dave if there was ever any thought of giving Jack Briscoe the Indian Chief gimmick, and why was it never pushed more that he was a Native American?
Because with that kind of a gimmick, it would have limited him. I mean, he would have actually gotten, he would have had an easier time getting over if he was a mid-level talent, but it would have handicapped him from, you know, being what he ended up being. So I think that was best for all concerned. They never ran away from it. I mean, but he didn't do the stereotypical stuff. You know, he didn't wear the headdress. He didn't do the war dance or anything like that.
But he didn't really look.
Part of that was because he was, you know, he was an NCAA champion.
He didn't really look like a Native American.
I guess. The whole thing with a Native American, I don't think there's so much of a look. Once you put, it's the whole gimmick is the headdress. You know?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, I mean, Jay Youngblood, I guess, looked like in the Youngblood brothers, who I don't even think they were Native Americans. You know, I mean, their last name was Romero. You know, they would wear the headdress, and everyone took them as Indians.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just, you know, Briscoe's hair. It's like, you know, I don't see a lot of pictures of Native Americans with that big curly hair type deal.
That's true.
So that's kind of my my impression there. It's just like if I walked in a room and.
But no, I mean, if he had the short hair, you know, Wahoo had the short hair, you could have cut your hair.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, nobody would guess that I was a Mexican. You know what I mean? So it's kind of sort of something like that. I don't know if I could pull off the Mexican gimmick because I'm way too white looking.
He could have pulled it off because they, you know, Joe Scarpa was freaking Italian and, you know, and he pulled off the Indian thing.
Yeah. All right. Who made the decision to replace ECW with NXT in 2 weeks while the February sweeps is still going on? Vince or the Sci-Fi Universal?
Oh, it was Vince. It was just the timing. You know, I mean, like,
it wasn't going to matter either way.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as, like, being a negative, do you think that it's probably done during the sweeps for the very reason that these ratings have been down, and they think that, like, by telling people there's going to be something new, that there'll be curiosity on that first show and the rating will go up. So I think that's actually the reason why they did it this month.
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
In a recent Jim Ross blog, he alluded to a scrum of some kind between Mark Coleman and Steve Williams in Japan. Can Dave give more information on this?
Yeah, there's, you know, I don't know if the story's true or not. I've never actually asked. Frank Trigg claimed that once he was in Japan and Steve Williams and Mark Coleman got into a bar fight and Steve Williams did the better of the two. But, you know, there were a lot of people skeptical of that only because it's Frank Trigg who will say anything. And I think that Frank Trigg, you know, I think that he had a background in Oklahoma, so he might be partial to Steve Williams. But he's the only one I ever heard tell the story. And you would think that if that happened, you would think the story would actually have been, you know, especially in Japan, it would have been, you know, people would have talked about it a lot more. So I don't know that it happened, but yeah, there's a story out there that Steve Williams beat up Mark Coleman in a bar fight.
Brian, today with cheerleader Melissa's departure from TNA, is there any chance she may be picked up by WWE as a second-generation wrestler who fit WWE's MO to reach out to her?
I don't know. I mean, anything's possible. The she just put something up on Twitter that she's got this really big, new, exciting news. So I don't know exactly what it would be. I suppose it's possible that, you know, I know AAA is looking for women, you know, American women to go down there. So it could be that. I don't know where, you know, if it's not TNA, where would it be? I mean, you know, Japan, you know, they don't have like, you know, it's the women's situation there is pretty dead. So she must have, I don't want to say that she must have, I don't know. Evidently, there's some good career news with her that's about to come out. So I would think it, you know, there's a good shot it's WWE.
And her father, by the way, Doug Anderson. For those of you wondering who the second generation was, although I'm not sure if that second generation would be such that WWE would care all that much.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's not part of their legacy.
This person here says, is there any truth to the rumor that the master tapes for Heroes of Wrestling were destroyed? They probably should have been. I don't know if they were.
I don't know.
Yeah. This person here says, serious question. Oh, Jesus. He's asking about the Nash April Hunter sex scene for Ultimate Deathmatch 3. Is it a real hardcore sex scene? No, it's not.
I don't know.
It's for a crappy independent movie, as he said here.
Yes.
Reading in Monday's update that Vancouver's bidding on WrestleMania and wondering, what do these bids involve? What does WWE typically get out of the bids? Money, tax breaks, etc.?
They get breaks. They get, you know, people going like, yeah, they get a lot of breaks, you know, that you know, will help you promote it, things like that. The Vancouver thing isn't really, you know, it's not as much as it's kind of been saying. What it is it's Dave Teixeira is, who's a local, you know, independent wrestling guy, is, you know, and politician who's, you know, he's a huge, huge fan. He's the one behind it, like starting this campaign. It's not like, but he went to the commission and they said, sure, of course we'd like to have it. But it's not like it's the city as a whole or a big, you know, like with Atlanta, they have like a, you know, a sports bureau that bids on, you know, the Final Four and you know, big time sports events. And they went and, you know, did that for WrestleMania. With Vancouver, this is a group that was, you know, just started like a week or two ago, specifically to, you know, try to get it. I think it's going to be very tough because, you know, WrestleMania in 2012 is most likely going to Rogers Center in Toronto. And so I don't see them going to Canada two straight years. So, you know, or even 2012 and then going back to 2014. So I think that the odds are not good. I wouldn't say they're impossible. And there'll be many other cities bidding. You know, any city with a dome stadium is pretty much, you know, open. You know, I think that WWE would like to go, so like, you know, there's Indianapolis, which almost got it this year, and plenty of other places too. So, you know, I think Vancouver's chances aren't good.
And finally here, with the recent deaths of Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and Jack Briscoe, WWE showed a very nice memorial package for them on Raw. And in the past, they might have done an in-memory-of picture acknowledging other wrestlers' death. My question is, why wasn't there one when Umaga passed away? He was one of the main event stars a couple of years ago at WrestleMania against Lashley. Why not at least a picture and in-memory-of posting on Raw that week? I think the issue is that when a young guy dies and they put up a graphic, people ask questions.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. With Steve Williams, he died of cancer. With Jack Briscoe, he was 68 years old, and plus, his brother worked for the organization forever. He had friends in the organization, and he was something of a legend. But the key is, he was 68 years old. When it's a guy who's, you know, in their 30s that passes away, you know, in the past they would have done it, but you know, you can see that they're really going to shy away from that. I think they're going to, you know, avoid that one. Even if Linda McMahon wasn't running, I think that they're kind of scared of that one. You know, those, you know, people starting to ask questions. And then right now with Linda McMahon running and the deaths of wrestlers, you know, being, you know, this question that's hounding her constantly, they're not going to publicize that.
And that is going to do it for today, everybody. But we're going to be back on Wednesday with a brand new edition of Wrestling Observer Radio, and as a preview for the week after, we're going to be joined by Jim Cornette. And he's got a lot of stuff to talk about, obviously. Always a great time with Jim. That's going to be the Wrestling Observer Radio, not this Wednesday, but the Wednesday after. Tomorrow on Figure Four Daily, we'll have Colt Cabana. We've got Dr. Lucha back on Wednesday, Lance Storm on Thursday, and, of course, all of the other usual shows as well. So check everything out. Front page, lots of stuff going up. New Figure Four tonight, new Observer on Wednesday, and a new back issue of the Observer going up as well. So check everything out, and we'll talk to you again after a while.